Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is New York State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Illia. Commissioner, let me ask you the first question.
Sure.
Common Core, one of those concepts that people don't understand but have been propagandized on again and again and again. Obamacare, Obamacare. Pretty soon people think Obamacare is bad when it's good. Common Core. I just got a letter from a lady saying you will be punished for not being against Common Core enough. What is the passion around this term?
Well, I think you hit on it. I mean, it's become a huge political thing. And to be perfectly honest, the core of this is, pardon the pun there, but the core really is that we are changing standards, raising standards to better prepare our students for what they're going to face when they walk out of high school. So we want them to be college or career ready or both. And we've been changing standards in the United States since 1647. And so changing standards, having them reflect what is needed when our students become adults is an important thing for us to do. But as you said, it's been waylaid, I think, by all these other kind of people that haven't been really involved in the development. And part of it is that the bottom line is there was federal money that went into the development of standards. And so it got pushed into a political environment. We really just need to concentrate on what is great for kids. And it's important for students to know things that obviously 20 years ago, 30 years ago, really wasn't on the page. And it is now, and we've got to be realistic about it.
So how are you handling it, Commissioner, yourself, in terms of this makes you, in many people's eyes, the bad guy, which you are not. But how do you handle that?
Well, I think the first thing that's important, and legislation was just passed here in New York, is to review the standards. You know, that only makes sense. You have implemented the standards about 4 or 5 years ago. We've put them in place. That has been occurring across the country. Many states have already reviewed the standards, made some modifications to them. And I think it's important for New York to go through that process. One thing I can tell you, we have not communicated well in this state about the standards, about how they are connected to what happens in the classroom, and then how they're connected to assessments. And I think it's really important for us to start with a review of the standards. So we're going to do that. We're going to make sure teachers, the practitioners who are every day using those standards in their classroom, have the ability to say, I think there should be some shifts here. I don't like the way that this is sequenced with something else. I think people that know what they're talking about and look at the standards can say there's some good things happening in our classrooms. We're hearing that across the state from teachers, but here's what I think should happen. So we're going to have an opportunity to review them. That's a big deal.
Now, the education people who I know who are opposed to this say things like, I'm opposed to teaching to the test, too much teaching to the test. When I was a kid growing up in New York and taking the Regents, we studied for the Regents exam. That's what we studied for. So is there such a thing as teaching to the test?
Well, there certainly is teaching to the test, but it can go overboard. And I think in perhaps some settings that's occurred, maybe too many settings. And I think we have to address that issue, honestly, with the leadership of schools and with teachers themselves. Should you be spending so much time that it takes away from real learning? No. But the standards should be taught in the classroom, and assessments that mirror the kind of assessments that you're going to have should be part of what students do, because it really will help students to understand the standards and to do better. But we shouldn't be teaching to the test where we only focus on make sure you do this so you can do well on the test.
There's a political arena here. I hate to even get started on this, but we have a governor who has been pushing for teacher evaluations. Now it's my understanding we put off the teacher evaluations for a year. The teachers that I keep meeting are furious with this governor. But the Board of Regents is not the governor, and they're your boss. So can you explain how all of this is working?
Can I explain it?
Yeah. In other words, you got a governor, you got a Board of Regents. The Assembly appoints basically the Board of Regents because the Senate's supposed to be in on it, but they're not because they don't have as many bodies. And so how's it all working out? Who hates who?
Well, really, I don't have the time to figure out who doesn't like each other. I think the reality is we've got to focus on what's right for kids. And what is right for kids is to really hone in on how we should be teaching in our classrooms to prepare our kids for what's going to happen when they walk out of high school. And my job is to support teachers across this state. I do support teachers. I was a teacher myself for 19 years. I belonged to NYSET when I was in New York, and I belonged to the Teachers Union when I was in Florida. And I went into administration after that and became an educational leader. I believe that our focus needs to be on students and what's right for them. And I am sure that everyone feels that way.
So the governor and Mrs. Tisch get along together or not? Your boss?
I have no idea whether I could say that they get along or not. I mean, I haven't been in a conversation with the two of them together in any setting. So I think the important thing is my job is to reflect what is best for students in the state of New York. And I think we need to look at all the things, whether it's the Common Core, whether it's the assessment, or whether it's the evaluation of teachers. I think we need to look at all those things and give teachers a voice in moving forward to support kids.
And where are you on the famous charter school issue? My son used to work for you guys as the head of the Charter School Institute, and I know that there's passion on both sides of this. So are charter schools a good thing or not?
Charter schools are a way to give choice to parents. And the bottom line is, can we support our children in charter schools and in public schools? Yes, we can. And if charter schools are doing a great job, then charter schools should be doing a good job.
But is there too much? I mean, there are people who say charter schools basically are stealing from the regular public schools. Charter schools, of course, consider themselves public schools, and that they take resources away that ought to be for educating every kid. Those are the arguments.
Well, let me say this. Charter schools are public schools, and in my world, the best way to teach students is to get them in environments where they can be successful. And if you have charter schools that are providing a great environment for kids and bringing success for them, then I'm not opposed to any charter schools. I'm saying that what we have to have and focus on is what is best for students across the state of New York.
Okay, so Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, came in with an anti-charter school approach, I think things got kind of complicated. But, you know, you're the commissioner for the whole state. And the question about New York City is we now have Eva Moskowitz, who is being talked about for running for mayor against de Blasio. So it's really quite a bit of, you know, muck that one has to look at in terms of understanding the process of this.
Well, let me say again, I think if you target what is best for kids from a perspective of an educator, that's what we need to do. And to get caught up in the politics of that and who's going to run for mayor or not, I think what we need to do is to target what is right for kids. And choices can be very good for kids. And I am in support of choice for parents and for students.
But when is it too much? And my son now lives in New Orleans. Everything is a charter school. You know, if you look at the people who are pro-charter school in New York, they'd like to see more and more and more. I thought that the whole process of charter schools were that they were going to set examples and standards for the other public schools. Has that worked out?
Well, absolutely. For some charter schools, they've been great models. We've also got some public schools in all of our districts, including New York, that are also great models. So I don't think you can pigeonhole them into saying charter schools are supposed to be great models. Let's look at all schools as providing models for how we can say this is the way to go to get really positive results for kids. That's what we've got to do. And there's too much in the political realm right now. We need to concentrate on what's right for kids, and that'll be the best thing to do.
Yeah. So when you say there's too much for in the political realm right now, what do you mean by that?
Well, you just spent 5 minutes talking to me about Mayor de Blasio and Eva Moskowitz and who's going to run for mayor. That's really not what I'm in. That's not my job.
Yeah, but it may have a direct result. Let me give you an example. Andrew Cuomo comes up with a proposition that makes it very difficult for localities to raise taxes. As a result, schools have a tougher time raising the money that some of them say that they need. So I'm asking you, and we have tied, the entire state is tied the property tax to the education ability to educate our kids. Is there a better way to do it than relying on property taxes?
Well, you know, there's formulas and variations on how to fund education across this country.
And so you're the expert.
Well, I'm the expert on what I can do to help kids learn to read and learn mathematics and support teachers so they can become better. But I will tell you that the financial models that are in place could be looked at. And there are many of them. I can't tell you that.
You got a better one?
Well, they all have pitfalls. Understand, when you look at it and it's getting passed by politicians who have an agenda for their own communities, which I understand, that can influence how we fund education. And so you have a lot of different forces that are included in looking at that formula. And so it does, in any state, even no matter how hard they try to keep it balanced, it can get out of balance. And the issues that we're facing in New York relative to that balance, I think, are things that we've faced in places across the country. There are models that we could look at to how to do it better, but that takes a lot of energy to do that and a lot of political will to do it.
Commissioner Elia, would we be better if we follow the advice of some thinkers who think that instead of doing it the property tax, we should just be part of the income tax and then let the state give out the money so that everybody has an equal chance, whether they're in Rochester or Scarsdale or wherever else?
So I'm on a show with you, and I could say one is better than the other. I haven't run a model to see whether it would work or not. I haven't looked at the situations in all of these communities, and we have over 700 school districts in the state of New York. So all of those things, that very kind of simplistic question, is not something that I can answer right now and say to you one way is better than the other. You would have to run models on all of that, and you'd also have to have the political will to say, we are going to change this.
You're the Commissioner of Education. I'm not. You're a great expert. You are a great expert. We know that. That's why you were chosen, why you were brought here. So you say, well, I could run models, but you must have some philosophy about whether or not income tax would be a better way of doing it than property tax.
I have not looked at whether or not income tax would be a better way to do it in the state of New York than property tax.
Okay. Let's talk about the unions. How are you getting along with the unions?
Oh, I mentioned to you, I've been a union member here in New York in the 70s and 80s, and I was a union member in Florida. Unions represent teachers. And if unions are doing their work well, they're representing the majority of the teachers that are their members. I think that unions basically need to support students as well, because that's why I think teachers go into their jobs. So from the perspective of, do I support unions? Unions are not on my agenda to be supportive of the union organization itself. I'm supporting teachers because I do believe that whenever we're going to have anything happen in our classrooms that's positive for kids, it's going to be because of the teachers and the support they give our students.
But when you get in a room with the teachers, a delegation of teachers, the unions, do sparks fly?
Actually, I've spoken in front of the union leadership for the state, and we didn't agree on everything. But
what didn't you agree on?
What didn't I agree
on?
Well, I think there's issues related to the evaluation for teachers. I happen to believe that a portion of a teacher's evaluation should be reflective of the performance of students and that sat in front of them for the whole year. And so I'm in support of that. Not all union leaders are. But I think when you talk to a lot of teachers, they understand the rationale of why that's the case. I think you can have disagreements over percentages that should be, over how you calculate it. I think those things are ways that you look at putting in a component for performance of students in teacher evaluation. But when I was talking to the union members, I'm sure that most of them, many of them didn't agree with a component that has anything to do with performance. I happen to agree with that. I think it's important.
Well, it's so interesting to me. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Believe me, I do. But it's interesting to me. If you get a teacher teaching in Scarsdale, they're going to have well-heeled students. We all know that the economics are that if you're a kid who has unlimited access to resources, if you're not doing well in reading or math or whatever else, you can get what you need. Or a kid in a really challenged school district. Now, if we say we're going to evaluate you on how well your kids are doing, we know who's going to do better, don't we?
Well, let me say this. The formula that is used in that calculation has a factor in there for poverty, for whether or not the student is a student who's learning English, for whether or not a student is a special need student. So those things are factored in. So I think that's where you can balance it out and make it be a fair process. But I think those are all concerns that we need to look at, and we need to better communicate exactly what that means to teachers.
Yeah. Talk to me about bullying, something as a little guy that I always had problems with in New York.
Not only in New York.
When somebody picked on you. And I remember it all too well. How do we stop bullying from occurring?
Well, bullying happens from the time a kid grows up with their siblings or with their cousins, and they're out playing on a playground, and something happens there, and they get mad at each other, and we have to. And I would say it's an important part of recognizing as a parent that you have to be involved in your kids' education and your growth, because I think that from a very early age, you have to talk about being respectful of other people and not understanding that everybody is going to do what you want to do. So that's an important concept, that whole character development. And I think we need to focus on it in school. And we also need to talk to parents about it. And the reality is that as you get parents involved in schools, things that they may not have thought about that's important to be a good parent can become part of what they learn. And they can do better with their children in explaining that. I think it's part of what happens in a faith community with kids. I think it's what happens in their own social groups. So if some students understand that, they can work with their peers. Those things are all naturally done very often.
Yeah, but
schools.
I'm sorry, Commissioner, but what about those students who parents tell them when they come home and they're crying that they were bullied, and the parent says, you got to go out and fight your own battles? That seems to me to be a prescription for disaster.
I think that we've got to work with parents to understand that that's not the approach to take, because what happens is that can escalate so quickly, and we've seen that. We've seen that across this country and every one of our school districts. I came from a large school district, and we had situations like that occurring all the time. And what happens is you really escalate the problems for kids.
Sure. Certainly did in my case. So what happens... What happens when, you know, the governor calls you up? Have you had one-on-one conversations with the governor?
No, I haven't yet. You know, I've been on the job about 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
And this is a time when kind of most of the people are not in Albany, and I haven't had the opportunity to speak with the governor yet.
Speaking of bullying, he has a way of pushing people around, we hear. What if he tries to push you around?
I've never had any experience with the governor at all, so.
So you don't expect to be pushed around? What is your history one in which if somebody gets in your face, you have the ability to say, cut it out?
Well, I grew up in a family of four. I was the youngest, and I was the only girl with three very, very strong brothers. So I've had experience in dealing with people that don't always agree with me. And I've had that in my teaching career with students and parents, as well as with administrators. And I've had it in my administrative career. So I think I've dealt with a lot of different people and different styles. And I would anticipate that we all have, I think it's a basic kind of agenda to support kids in this state. I think we've seen that in some of the actions that the governor has taken. I think we've seen that with legislators, and I would anticipate that that's the common ground that we have.
So you think everybody's sort of coming from a decent place in their approach as opposed to taking political advantage, for example?
I would hope so. I'm certainly going to work on that, and that would be my agenda.
So when you were chosen to be commissioner, obviously this is one of the top jobs in America. How did you react to getting the job?
Well, I have to say, I had been out of New York State for 30 years, but I always...
You were raised in New York?
Oh, absolutely.
Where?
In upstate New York, outside of Niagara Falls, in a small town, Lewiston.
That's pretty upstate, yeah.
Yep. I went to undergraduate at Rosary Hill Damon College. I have a master's degree from University of Buffalo, and I have a second master's degree from Buffalo State.
Wow. So do you remember the day you got the phone call?
I remember the day that I got the phone. My first phone call came in saying, would you consider this job? The headhunter group had been given my name from a few people, and they said, we'd like you to consider the job. And I thought about it, and while I said, well, I'll call you back, let me think. And ultimately ended up coming to New York for an interview.
Who interviewed? The Regents interviewed?
Yes, it was with the committee of the Regents. Yeah. And I've really felt like I was coming home.
You know,
talking about the things that I'd grown up with. I mean, I have a Regents diploma. Right. And I understand. And when I left New York in 1986, New York was the standard.
Sure.
And California was coming up and Massachusetts wasn't quite there. And now
is New York.
I think
we have
a lot of work to do in New York. And I'm very excited to put New York in a position where they are the standard again to look at.
Yeah. And when you were in Florida, how was that?
Very focused on education reform in Florida, and we'd been working on it for, I would say, 12 to 15 years. And in the time that I was the superintendent in one of the large districts in Florida, that was working through some of the new and shifting kind of accountability moves was a challenge. But ultimately, our students in Florida have really moved forward.
We're out of time. Our guest has been New York State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Elia. Commissioner, it's great of you to take this time and to join us, and we hope you'll come back again and talk to us some more as your experience unfolds. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.